When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to POV on My Therapist, the podcast where I vent, you listen, and you don't get paid. I'm your host, Divine Philemon. Before we dive into this new season, remember you can listen ad-free with early exclusive access to all of the season's episodes by subscribing to POV Plus on Apple Podcasts. Our new merch is live at www.pov.plus. Yes, that's www.pov.plus, not .com. Don't miss our featured shirt this week, Sad Girls Go to Heaven. The link is available in the description below. I'm also super excited to announce a giveaway. Leave a rating and review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify for a chance to win one of each of our merch items and to get a special shout out on the show. Make sure to check out our newsletter, The Hot Sexy Overshare, released every Saturday on Substack in conjunction with our regular weekly episode of POV You're My Therapist. All of this and more can be found at www.pov.plus. This podcast is brought to you by POV Plus. Our theme music is Still Barkin' by Chad Tuthill. All editing, production, and artwork are done by yours truly, Divine Philemon. For more updates, follow us on Instagram at POV You're My Therapist Pod and at Vine Philo. Check us out on TikTok and YouTube. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode. Okay, hi. Welcome to POV You're My Therapist, the podcast where I vent, you listen, and you do not get paid. So today we're going to talk about politics. Yes, we're going to talk about politics because, as you know, the election is coming up. Okay, November 2nd. It's not November 2nd. I'm sorry, that's my birthday. Well, now you know that my birthday is November 2nd. Okay, November 4th, you need to get your little ass out to the polls, okay? You need to get yourself out to the polls like you a freaking stripper and you have kids to feed, okay? Election. So I wanted to talk about politics because I'm not gonna lie to you, this little roundabout, seeing Bernie be, you know, screwed over in 2016 and then Hillary Clinton ruining everything 2016, having a very tumultuous relationship with politics over the years because, you know, people you've respected, you've loved, you've cared for have come out of the closet as Trump supporters. And also getting just tired of politics and getting political fatigue. And I think that's a fair statement, okay? I'm allowed to say that because obviously I'm Black, so I can get tired of thinking about politics because it is a revolutionary act just for me to exist, being sexy, fat, Black. Come on. Like, I am breaking all kinds of boundaries right now, okay? Like, I'm glass ceilings shattered everywhere. But I wanted to talk about politics just because I feel like I've always been a very political person. I've always been politically active. When John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock were, you know, campaigning in Georgia, I helped out. I was there too. I was supposed to be in the music video. I was supposed to be in the campaign video. No, but I helped out. I texted. I knocked on doors. I did the canvassings. I did what I had to do. Okay. I'm going to be 100% honest here when I have these conversations with you. And you may not like what I have to say, but I'm telling you these things about myself. I have noticed recently, I can kind of see, okay, let's do a Venn diagram. I love a Venn diagram. In the words of Kamala Harris, Miss Coconut Tree 2024, let's do a Venn diagram. The Venn diagram, all right, that has, you know, frustration with Democrats, because I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal, okay, frustration with the Democratic Party here in one circle. And then you have, actually, no, that's not it. Actually, okay, sorry. The Venn diagram is more so a circle here, frustration with the two-party system. Circle here, right-wing conspiracy theorist, okay? What do they both have in common? They have a deep distrust of the government. And what's in the center of those two Venn diagrams, you have sick of the two-party system, right-wing conservatism, disillusionment in the American government. Ah, I'm so smart. I said that because I'm smart. That's what I've been noticing. And what kind of like made me realize I need to kind of sit down and kind of write out and think about what my real beliefs were, was because I found myself getting so eye-rolling annoyed at the things that I would hear like leftists say. To an extent, I think you have a capacity for tolerance. And, you know, you should be tolerable of a lot of things, but if you don't have any boundaries, you have no boundaries. If you don't stand for anything, you fall for everything. And I think there is a limit to what you can stand for. So what do I mean by that? I mean by that, like, when it comes to, like, gender politics, I know this looks like it's going into a scary direction. Don't worry, it's not. When it comes to gender politics, whatever I learned up until 25 is probably as far as my brain is going to let me take for the rest of my life. So I learned about the LGBTQIA+. Okay. Anything past that, I'm clocking out. Okay. I'm clocking out. I'm not actively in that community. So to an extent, I'm like, okay, I'm done learning about this. I know what I need to know. It covers the majority of the population of the LGBTQIA, Rainbow Mafia. I'm understanding this. Okay, I get it. I know where I stand in the letters. It's the B. I'm good. When it starts getting into the politics that literally count for like 0.001% of a group, I'm clocking out. That's for you to know. And if we run into each other, you to tell me. But I'm not going to go out of my way to like learn about that. Because I just feel like people want you to do that and give a lot of energy to all of these things. So they want you to know about that. Okay. They want you to know about their gender politics. Great. But then somebody wants you to know about their politics and their historical politics and their race politics. And it's like, girl, I'm one person. You're spreading me thin. So I would say that I kind of clocked that my thoughts were getting like, we're starting to lean a little conservative. And honestly, for me, like, honestly, they're really not that conservative, because what I consider conservative is still pretty liberal. But I was just finding myself being on the other end of the liberal spectrum. And I was like, I need to like kind of tap in and see what's going on here. And I realized that what was happening was I was just getting fucking tired of learning a new phrase and a new person and a new thing every week that was supposed to, like, if I didn't know about it, it would ruin somebody's life. Okay. So I got tired of that. The Democratic Party as a whole, I was getting tired of her. Every time I saw Joe Biden's rusty, crusty ass, I was like, these people don't want to win. They don't want to win this election. They are forfeiting. They are giving up. They are turning it over to the bad guys. What is going on? I was getting so frustrated with it. And I was like, if they let this old man run for president, we are going to be back up in chains, girl. I saw a tweet. It said, they go low and we go high all the way back to chains. Yeah. And I was like, these people are not acting like people that want to win. And then Miss Coconut Tree came out of nowhere. Miss Coconut Tree, you think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of everything that was before you and ever will. Okay? You exist in the context. That was funny. Fine. Okay? But I have a conspiracy theory that they let old man Joe, sleepy Joe, go out there and just, I think they weren't giving him his meds for a couple weeks purposefully, like his cognitive stuff. They were letting it slide. They weren't giving him his, you know, they weren't giving him his poppers. They were letting him, you know, have too many apple juices a day, maybe letting his sugar get a little too high, making him a little extra tired, just so he looked really pathetic. So that in comparison, when Kamala Harris announced her running for president It just was a whole new breath of energy. And my God, I was here for it. I am here for it. I'm still here for it. I am here for it because it feels so nice to be reinvigorated and to see somebody who knows what's at stake. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things during this episode. First thing that I'm going to talk about are the important dates of this election. So at least if you hear anything, you hear that. So going to let you know about the important dates of the election. I know this is for Georgia, but if you Google this, I promise you can find out what you need to know, girl, depending on your state. September 16th, what is it? First day to request your mail-in ballots. Okay. October 7th, what is that? Last day to register to vote in the general election. Also the last day for you to change your address. Okay. October 15th, early in-person voting begins for the general election. Okay. October 23rd, recommended date to send your absentee ballot in by. Okay. So they can count it by the election, which is when? November 4th. And also, when is Divine's birthday? November 2nd. Thank you. Thank you very much. October 25th, last day to request an absentee ballot. Am I disappointed in you? You waited a long time, but you're voting, and that's all that matters. Okay? November 1st, early in-person voting ends. November 4th is what? Election day. Great. So now that that is out of the way, we can talk about all the other stuff I want to talk about too. Okay. So I'm going to start off with talking about, I don't think it's worth it to just go ahead and not vote in this election or to vote for the other one because of her stance on Israel. I don't think it is, because I've always said this. I've always said that with the Republicans, I think the world would end in 2 days. All right. They're coming to take my rights immediately. Immediately, they're coming for me. Okay. With the Democrats, I think it's a bit of a small burn. Not a small burn, a slow burn. I think it's a very slow burn. I think, you know, they're extremely tepid, not motivated, very pushovery. But that gives me time to switch out my passport and to go to another country. Unfortunately, this really is the lesser of two evils, all right? And the thing I don't really understand is I try to stay off of like the drama that's happening on TikTok because that's what it is. At this point, I don't think it's really about politics or anything else. I think it has so much to do with people's egos and wanting to be right and wanting to feel right and not really caring what the truth says or anything else like that. People do not realize how innately nationalist they are. Okay? Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, yeah, I do. I mean, I do, you know? But I mean, like, I can look at myself in the eye and know that for me, it's everybody Black. You know what I'm saying? Everybody Black gets first dibs. At the dinner, they get to eat first, you know, because, and you know, a lot of people are okay with that because Black people have been suppressed for so long. They've been through so much when it comes to this country that it's like, yeah, it's only fair that they get to eat first. But unfortunately, everybody is like that towards their own race. And I also think that we are mistaken as Black Americans to think that that's not the truth. It's just how it is. People are always going to put their kinfolk first. And I feel that Black Americans are the only one that are constantly waiting for other kinfolks to put them first. They're never going to put you first. Okay. You need to vote in your best interest. Unfortunately, you need, because the way it is, we are all at risk. Okay. We're all insanely at risk. We really are. Like, what is happening in Palestine is so insane. And it shows you the evil that is capable. And it also shows you that a lot, you know, because I think sometimes we feel really safe when we get into a, we walk into a room, we walk in, we see another ethnic, we say, ugh, girl, some of these ethnics are racist. Okay? Okay? Some of the ethnics are racist. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow, that just because we're in the fight alongside each other, that doesn't necessarily mean we're fighting for the same thing. Okay? And I'm not saying that being like, oh, we're black, the Palestinians are Palestinians, they, you know, they need to hang them out to dry, they can take care of themselves. That's not what I mean at all. But when it comes down to the matter of voting, I think it's really important to remember what exactly is at stake. This is one, I understand being a one issue voter. I completely understand that. But this is one issue that is affecting millions of lives. And you see how detrimental it is. You see how violent and awful it is, and how life shatteringly awful it is. You see that. And that is just one problem. That is one, that is one issue. Okay? That is not the only issue on the ballot. On this ballot, you are talking, we're talking reproductive rights. We're talking about 11-year-olds having babies. That hits close to home. We're talking about abusers on the Supreme Court, girl. If I saw my rapist on the Supreme Court, I'm committing a federal felony. That means the same thing. I'm committing a crime, a bad one, a big one, a life-changing one. They don't want black people to go to school. Girl, they calling you a DIE hire, a DEI hire. Diversity and inclusion. I don't know what the E stands for, to be honest. Gay rights is on the ballot. All right? We need to remember that before we start telling people not to vote. We need to actively remember that, because that affects a lot of people. It's something that I'm still trying to come to grips with myself and verbalize myself. I'm not saying these things and like, oh, this is concrete, this is how you should be, this is, you're stupid for feeling that way. I'm not saying that at all. I completely understand why you feel that way. And to an extent, I feel that way too. But I'm also remembering the other issues that are at play here that are scary. That man don't like y'all. Unless you are and rich, he don't like, and a man, he don't like you. He don't like you. And he's gonna make sure you know it. Like, I wish we could live in a perfect society where, you know, people didn't have to worry about these things, but we do. We live in this society where we do have to worry about these things, where, you know, the talking points for Republicans is how Tim Walz made sure that the kids had food to eat. Come on. This is the richest country in the nation. And there are, we're poor here because they're sending so much money over there to bomb helpless people. Why are kids hungry at school? I don't understand that. Why are kids going to school on an empty belly? Like, there's so much stuff that we need to deal with as a country. And Palestine is a huge issue. Israel is a huge issue. Foreign affairs are a huge issue. But I find it extremely insane that this government is creating an environment at home that makes people so desperate that they're willing to pimp their, they are creating a pipeline from desperate to pimp yourself out to the government. So they constantly have a rotating, have a rotation of bodies to fill their army. And honestly, like, that's all it is. Like, girl, if I wasn't fat, I'd be considering joining the military. You know, times is tough. Life is hard. Times is tough. Baby want to pay her bills. You live in a place where you cannot win. I would like to believe that Kamala Harris is such a change. Not only do she got the nerve to be a woman, but gosh darn it, she black. And she love her a tan suit and a silk press and a sweet treat. Woo! I know them people is mad. I would hope that because she is such a huge shot of adrenaline and being so different, that she takes it and runs with it. That she's like, okay, y'all already don't like me. I'm going to executive order student loans canceled, executive order school, free food for everybody at school, executive order medication is $2, one pill, $2 small bottle of pills, $3 big bottle of pills, everything else $4. You know what I'm saying? Like the cancer treatment, $6. Like I would hope that it's, and that's me being extremely, you know, facetious. But I would hope that she is such a shock to the system that she runs with it and she continues to be a shock to the system for a good reason. I really, really hope so. But, you know, it's politics and these people are inherently liars. Trump's running mate is a guy called J.D. Vance. Now, J.D. Vance is, he has a particularly unsettling face because I'm 99% sure that he wears eyeliner to make his blue eyes pop. And he looks like a ghoul. That's about as nicely as I can put it. He looks like a ghoul. And he has eyelashes that are blonde, which as a dater of Caucasian, of the Caucasian spectrum, there is nothing I do not like more in this world than a blonde eyelash heaven freak. I'm so sorry, but why are your eyelashes blonde? They look like, you know, when you have sleep in your eye, it looks like they constantly have sleep in their eye. Not my cup of tea at all. Grow up, put some mascara on. I guess that's what he did, but he be applying too much and he applies too much and he looks crazy. So anyway, so he wrote a book called Hillbilly Elegy. Okay, so I'm going to read you the synopsis of this book. So in this book, Vance describes his upbringing and family background while growing up in Middletown, Ohio, where his mother and family had moved after World War I from Kentucky. Vance states that their Appalachian culture valued traits such as loyalty, love of country, despite family violence and verbal abuse. Vance recounts his grandparents' alcoholism. His grandparents were alcoholics. His mother was a drug addict. And okay, so his mom was a drug addict and she would steal pills from the hospital. Why did he say in one of his campaign videos that his mom got drugs from Mexicans coming across the border? Girl. Okay, anyways. Anyways, so his mom couldn't take care of him. He lived with his grandparents. He ended up going to Yale and he basically was asking himself, like, what is the important things of... He really had a big self-crisis with respectability politics. He hates poor people. He hates hillbillies because he feels like he went to Yale and he did it all. Why can't you do it too? When I tell you this man has no riz, I was watching a video of him at a bakery and it was just the... I don't know. Like, sometimes you watch things and you're like, do these people want to win? Like, I don't understand why you would put your vice president in that position. But also, I don't think at this point Trump likes him. Okay. So he's said a couple of really crazy and outlandish things. Like, at one point on a podcast, he said that women past menopause were basically, they have no purpose in life besides to take care of their younger people's children, like their grandkids. That to me is a crazy statement. Okay. We love a grandma that steps up and takes care, but that's an insane statement to say they have no biological purpose besides that. Forget living a life. Okay. I say this because one of the things that I wanted to talk about in this episode is something called the Overton window. So the Overton window is basically, and I'm going to tell you the exact definition from Merriam-Webster. The Overton window is the identifying ideas that define the spectrum of acceptability of political of governmental politics. Okay, it says that politicians can act within the acceptable range. Shifting the Overton window involves proponents of policies outside the window persuading the public to now expand the window. What the fuck does that mean? Okay, so let's think about this. Remember in 2008, I think, when Obama was running against John McCain? And they kept saying that Obama was a Muslim, which honestly, I read old articles, looking back at those headlines, that is insane. Those were in this year of our Lord, that is job losing headlines. Okay. To be saying that Obama is a Muslim because his middle name is Hussein, you're losing your job and your pension, bitch. You're getting sued for libel. Insane. So that was like the big thing. And I remember during one of their debates, or during one of John McCain's rallies, some guy started spewing some racist BS about Barack, asking about like the Muslim stuff, right? John McCain grabbed that mic and he was like, "We don't do that here. I don't know where you're from, but we don't do that here. Okay, we're not going to do that. He is an outstanding gentleman. He is this. He is that. He is blah, 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 blah." It's the same way that when Trump first started running for president, all of these Republicans came out and were like, "This guy is gross. This guy is blah." And then once they realized he was gaining traction because, you know, his fans were insane, they all started, you know, walking that back and being just as awful as him. Now, when you look at politics, you can have what would have been a career-ending action, like, God forbid if John McCain had let that guy speak, not even him speaking, John McCain letting that guy speak, him adding nothing to it, him saying, "Okay, thanks," taking the mic back, not defending Barack Obama, that is the end of your campaign, sir. Exit stage left, okay? Now that Overton window has shifted so hard, you have a guy who was in office, won the election, is running for president again. He has 51 felonies. He is going to be sentenced in October. He got 33 rape charges and 5 baby mamas, I think, and 3 baby mamas. Okay. If that's not a shift in what is deemed acceptable, I don't know what is, girl. I don't know what is, okay? Like, I find it so shocking when I think about that. And it's like, how far is this going to go? And like, you can see how the slippage into just insanity. You can see how it happens. You can see how people lose their moral compass. If everybody in the room is like, "It's okay, you don't have to wash your dishes," you're not going to wash your dishes. If everybody in the room is saying, "Oh, it's okay, you can be your worst self," what's to stop you from being your worst self? I think this is also why Kamala's campaign of literally just being a happy, normal person has been so effective, because you can only live in misery for so long until people just start getting tired of your BS. And I think like this entire election, everything that's been going on with like our politics, I think it's a greater representation of everything else that is happening like in our society. People are miserable. The mental health rate, down, honey. She is down. Okay. People can't afford to eat. People can't afford to live. People are having a hard time just getting by, and that's making them miserable. And they're so tired of it. They're so tired of it. And it's like, at this point, you have en masse, you have at least 50% of the American populace turning to the government and being like, "You need to fix this. I can't budget myself out of poverty. I can't budget myself out of simply being the rich man's bitch. I can't budget myself out of that. Y'all need to make it work. Y'all need to make it work. Okay, y'all need to fix it immediately. We need deflation yesterday. Okay, inflation is crazy. I'm sorry. I never thought I'd be one of those people getting on a podcast and be like, "Inflation is crazy." But goddamn, bitch, inflation is crazy. What do you mean? You know, I used to go to the grocery store. Let me tell you something. My weekly groceries used to be $40, okay? $40. You know what I could get for $40? A lot. I could get enough to make my green smoothie, which, you know, that's not cheap. I was buying premium ingredients. I was buying organic apples, organic pineapple. Girl, I could buy everything I needed in 2018, I could buy everything I needed to make my green juice at the grocery store, cereal, some deli meats, some chicken, vegetables, some rice, a sweet treat. I could buy all of that for like $40. And I'm leaving some stuff out. I could get toiletries. I could get toilet paper. I could get tampons. I could get whatever I needed to get, girl. I could get it all for $40. Now, I had to make mac and cheese the other day. Not had to. Nobody had a gun to my head and told me, you have to make macaroni and cheese. I wanted to make macaroni and cheese the other day. And, y'all, why? I went in there. I was so scared. I was really scared for my life because I had to buy like six different types of cheese. Okay. I had to buy six different types of cheese, two different kinds of noodles. Okay. Elbow macaroni and spiral. Okay. Yeah. I like to have a little difference up in there. So I had to get that. I had to get two different types of milk. I had to get, I think I said six different types of cheeses, and I had to get butters. Okay. And I had to buy, my spice rack was looking a little empty, so I had to buy some spices. Y'all, I was terrified. When I tell you I was terrified, I was absolutely terrified that that grocery was going to be at least $80. I thought it was going to be $80. Okay. It ended up being 60, which is just as bad, but at least it wasn't 80. Okay. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe four, that would have been $40. Mm-hmm. And now look. I took a break. I went to lunch. And now I'm back. And I wanted to clarify some of my musings from earlier because I think talking about politics is really, it's really scary now, if we're gonna be honest. Because I think it's you're either this or you're either that. Recently, I tried to reconnect with an ex. All right. So I knew that I wanted someone who would be consistent, who I had a little history with. So maybe we were teetering that line of romance and just fun. So I was like, you know, let me see what he's up to. Because I knew he moved into the city and I was in the city. So I was being a city girl. And I was like, okay, let's see if, you know, what he's got going on. So I reached out to him and one thing leads to another, and in the span of 30 minutes, this man is telling me his radical, and I mean radical, political views. Like, he is talking about, like, he thinks certain groups of people should be dead. He thinks a lot of things. I don't think we ever talked about politics when we first started dating, so I cannot tell you what I thought. I don't know what his politics were. I thought like maybe he was just somebody who doesn't vote because he never talked about politics. He had no interest in it. He didn't seem to care about it. So, and we just never talked about it. But I knew he was not, and he was not insufferably conservative. I knew that much because they always let you know, you know? He's telling me about, you know, what it means to be a man to him, what it means to be a man, and how, you know, the LGBTQIA, he just can't get jiggy with it because if to him, if you're that confused, you don't deserve to be alive. Obviously, between the time that he and I dated and to now, he's been radicalized, like deeply radicalized. And he told me before he went on to there, because that was about the last thing he said, because I said, girl, absolutely not. This conversation is over here, okay? But right before then, he was telling me about something that he went through about a year and a half ago. And as I'm listening to it, I'm like, I know this man's personality. He is bait. He is bait. He is catch bait for the right wingers, for the white supremacists. Like that he is their bread and butter. Like, because he is so emotionally fragile. Okay. That he's perfect to manipulate. He truly is. Okay. Sorry, but he is. So listening to him start off this conversation, telling me about this really traumatic, I'll give it that. It was very traumatic. This very traumatic thing that he went through. I'm sitting there thinking like, oh my gosh, like, I really hope he never gets into the grips, he never falls into the grips of some of a cult of, you know, somebody who is looking for somebody to manipulate. I hope he never falls into the grips of that. And then he starts telling me about his political views. And I'm like, okay, oops, too bad. We're late in this conversation. He's already there. So he's telling me what he thinks it should be like to be a man and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if you're so busy, and that's what I said. I said, if you're so busy being a man, providing for your family, protecting your woman, why do you care what anybody else is doing with their time, with their body, with their sex? Why do you care? You should be so focused on your life, on your things, and be so secure in it that you know that nothing that is quote unquote against your beliefs is gonna jeopardize that. That's how in tune you should be with your beliefs. And when you are that in tune with your beliefs, you know what those things do? They don't bother you. You become extremely tolerant. Because you get this understanding that it's not my life. I haven't walked this path. But, you know, even though I don't get it, it's okay. It's your path to walk. It's your life to live. And if this is the thing that makes you comfortable in your life, go ahead. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand. But I can take a second and imagine what it would be like. What would I feel like having been insecure in my own body for a long time? What would I feel like if that was past fat? If that was past fat, and if it was to my gender, if it was to my gender identity, if it was to my gender expression, if it was to my physical gender, what would that feel like? What kind of, oh my God, the torture it would be for me to feel like I'm in the wrong body. I can't imagine. I can only imagine because I haven't walked that path. So for me to sit there and be like, I think people who are of a different gender identity or of a different romantic expression than myself, to say that they're wrong or anything, like, you're fucking stupid. Like, to me, that's, you're not smart. You can't think past yourself. And to be honest, he is very selfish, which is why I didn't want a relationship with him. I was just trying to fuck, okay? So that happened, and then he was doing that. And I retort with the, if you're so busy and you're, you know, if you're really concentrating on the things you should be concentrating on, what other people do with their lives should not bother you, okay? I hit him with that one. He goes, did you just interrupt me? Did you just fucking interrupt me, woman? You just don't interrupt me, woman. If there's anything you need to know about me, it's that you don't interrupt me, woman. I was like, you know what? It's gonna happen again because I'm about to interrupt you again to tell you fuck you and goodbye. And then I hung up and then I blocked him because what exactly do you think this is? So that happened. And I'm getting to the point, promise. And like, that's just, okay, that happened. Scene set. I call my friend to tell her about this. And I call two of my friends to tell them about this. I call one of them who is extremely liberal and she's super, like, we were actually just talking and she was just telling me how she doesn't think she can date somebody whose family is conservative even if they're not conservative. And I was kind of telling her, like, I don't really think it's a problem because you are in a relationship with the family to an extent, but if this person is so close with their family to the point where they raise somebody so great and they're not conservative, if that person you're with is not conservative, you know, I don't really see the problem. If you and your partner's views align, I get the family thing, but I also don't think it's like too big of an issue. If she had told me that this man was not, you know, liberal and he was super conservative, then I would have been like, oh, hold your horses. I understand. So I call her to tell her the story. And I'm like, you know, I was kind of getting the inkling, the sense that he was conservative at the beginning of our conversation, but I wasn't going to push any further because, to be honest, I was trying to get busy. Okay, so pardon, but when I go to the bar, I don't, and I connect with a cute guy, and I see him across the bar, and I know I want him to take me home. You think I'm gonna ask him what, girl? You think I'm gonna be like, what you drinking? I have a whiskey sour. So who are you voting for in the fall? I know some people might do that. I'm not, because I'm never talking to you again. Sorry. So I'm like, that's not my priority. That's not my priority. My priority is, my first question is probably, what are you packing? And second, can I take a picture of your license so my friends know where I'm going and who I'm with? That's my priority. Afterwards, if I'm like feeling them and then I find out they're conservative, I'll be like, oh, never mind, never mind. That's happened. And it's been a heartbreak. It's been a heartache, because why are you wearing a dangly earring? Okay, you've got on a dangly earring. I know it's a red flag, but like on the other side, you're wearing a dangly earring. You're wearing sparkly cowboy boots and a crop top. Okay, but you're going to sit there and tell me that you're conservative? Baby, I don't know if you know what these words mean. You're not a conservative. You're a little gay boy. That's what you are. Bisexual at the least. Let's be honest, okay? That's happened so many times. The amount of times when a guy's aesthetic has just been so gay, okay? So LGBTQ coded, okay? So bisexual coded. And then they're not bisexual. And then I'm just like, oh, so I'm going to be the only bisexual in this polycule. I'm kidding. I would never be in a polycule. Because I don't get it. We're not going to go there, but I don't get the polycule people. But anyways, you know, when people say Trump, when they say make America great again, all those things, you envision a very specific person. But I will tell you that while I have run into a lot of those people, I run into a surprising amount of colored people in that camp, from Black to Indian to Asian to Hispanics. And I'm like, girl, like this, you guys would not survive Jim Jones's Kool-Aid. I know the extent of my intelligence when it comes to these things. Once something just starts getting a little too hard for me to understand, I take a respite. I take a step back and I put my hands up. I don't try to pretend I understand it. I don't. I'm like, I don't get this. The connection is not happening in my brain right now. And I'm not going to pretend to. But on the other hand of that, the reason why I do that is because I know that there are so many people who pretend to understand something, who pretend to be politically aligned to something, because they want to be able to say, I gotcha. They want to be able to say, oh, look, I've looked through your papers, your papers, meaning your tweets. I've looked through your tweets. I've looked through your likes on TikTok. A lot of people use that as a means to control other people. And it's not everybody, but I can't sit here and pretend like a lot of people do not use boycotts, social justice, political correctness, you know, cancellations, all of these things as a means of revenge. Because a lot of them do. A lot of them do. There's a lot of conversations that happen that I excuse myself from simply because I don't know. I don't know what is the right answer. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I know there's little things I can do. I don't go to Starbucks. Okay. Who else is on the list? I don't have Disney Plus. Okay. What else is on the list? It's like there's little things you can do, sure, but should you beat yourself up about it consistently? No, I don't think that's worth it. I really don't. I really, really don't. So